You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. It is just after 9 o'clock a.m. here on a Monday morning in January, and we're experiencing a warming trend here this morning. And not only are we experiencing a warming trend in terms of the temperatures, we are also experiencing a warming trend in terms of the political races that are going on throughout the country. With today being the 28th, we have already experienced a number of primaries across the country with regard to the process we use to select who will represent us in front of the state legislators, Congress, and also the very important office of the Presidency of the United States of America. We have such an exciting race this year. We have we're experiencing something that we've never experienced before here, in at least in recent history, with the presidential slate being wide open. And we want to have a conversation with you over the next hour. And the number here is 312-751-1979. And we should remind our listeners that you will have a chance to participate in the Illinois primary, which is coming up on February the 5th, which is, I think it's only about a week and a half from today, next Tuesday. And it's right around the corner. But before we get to that date, we will be experiencing some news from across the country, as we did this weekend with the Democratic primary in South Carolina, on Saturday with the surprising victory of Barack Obama. And we have also a very exciting race going on in the state of Florida, when the Republicans are battling it out, as well as the Democrats are, but it doesn't really count, but it kind of does, but not maybe in terms of the media spin. So with us this morning to help us frame this issue is we will have on the line with us somebody to help me out sort all of these races. We're going to try to not only talk about what's going on with the presidential race, but also what's going on with congressional races and how that impacts what's going on at the state legislature, which is something that we follow and we talk about a lot on this show. And I should also add, with any luck, perhaps at the 9:30 hour, we may be joined by Congressman Dan Lipinski, who would like to talk a little bit about a resolution that he's introduced in Congress with regard to Catholic Schools Week, which is beginning today. And the congressman has put a resolution forward honoring Catholic schools and the participations we contribute to the well-being of the common good. So with us this morning, let's start our conversation at 9:03 exactly. And let's introduce Ryan McLaughlin. Ryan, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Good. Good weekend?
Yeah, not bad. Can't complain.
Yeah, kind of uneventful, but, you know, that's what happens in January, right?
That's true. At least it's not. It's kind of warming up, so that's the good part.
Right, right. Ryan, we should add, in terms of via introduction, has worked in numerous campaigns throughout the state of Illinois, recently ran a congressional race out in the western suburbs, a successful race at that. He's got a wide variety of experiences raising money for various campaigns and candidates, has kind of been a guy on the scene here in Illinois for a couple of years, and is now, I think you have a title of a vice president, I believe, of public affairs with a communications group called Zapwater Communications. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
What did I leave out? Did I get most of it right?
I'm Irish Catholic, so that's probably the one thing I didn't
yeah.
need to add.
Okay, this is the McLaughlin and Gilligan show this morning, so I'm sorry.
Exactly.
But it's not the first time that's happened. It probably would be the last. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on, not only here, but throughout the country, and we want callers. Really, what we want to talk about, Ryan, this morning is what's going on. I think let's start with the presidential race. Wow, pretty exciting, huh? I think my wife is sick and tired of watching CNN and every other newscast that comes along in terms of what's going on, the latest poll and the latest opinion and who's saying what to whom and why. So it's an exciting race on both sides, huh?
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. And I think the one, you know, there's a lot of media coverage and a lot of talk about it, but it's really a unique experience. I mean, we're talking, you know, maybe 2 to 3 decades since we've had such a competitive race that lasted, you know, farther past Iowa, New Hampshire. I mean, in the past, it was, let's see who gets through Iowa, New Hampshire, and then we have a nominee on both sides. I mean, we have a very spirited race on both sides of it, and I think the most exciting part of it is that Illinois is going to have a real voice, especially on the Republican side, and who the nominee is going to be. I think that's the exciting part.
And that's
I think it's in Illinois. Yeah, and I think it's great for the country. I mean, this is a really good dialogue. It's competitive, and I think it's great for the country.
I was looking at some of the public opinion polls, public polls this morning in terms of Illinois, and it seems like Senator Obama has a substantial lead in Illinois, at least to date. I'm trying to pull the numbers up in front of me, but I can't seem to find it. I have so many numbers on this sheet of paper. You know what? I didn't see a Democratic poll, but I did see one on the Republican side, and at least in Illinois right now, and this, as we've learned the hard way, don't really trust the polls because we've seen polls going in and then the results coming out being entirely different. Real Clear Politics, which is a great website, shows that McCain is lit up a little bit, 31-20 for Romney, 13 for Giuliani, 11 for Huckabee. But as I said, that's changing dramatically as we go forward. And on the national scene, it looks like, at least from what I've been able to gather, it looks like Senator Clinton, believe it or not, has a substantial lead in the national race. She's up right now 42-32-14, 42% for Senator Clinton, 32% saying they were going to support Senator Obama, and 14% for Senator Edwards. After South Carolina this week, some of the pundits are saying that we could be experiencing some changes. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at you really need to unpack the poll. And I think what was interesting is that, you know, as everybody expected that Obama would get a significant significant boost from African Americans, and he really came out of there strong. But I think the margin of victory is really what shocked people, and maybe some of the antics by Hillary's vice presidential running mate, her husband, may have backfired a little bit. I think you have a close election, and now suddenly you have Obama that's up. But I think that what it says is February 5th, a week from tomorrow, is going to be huge. I think and the interesting thing is, what is Edwards doing? I mean, is Edwards making a play? I mean, he can. It may not be a brokered convention, but it could be, and maybe he's angling for a VP spot. But
he's been there before.
I think the margin of victory by Obama was probably startling.
I think so, too. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, my understanding of what happens in Florida tomorrow is that the Democrats vote, but it doesn't count for delegates.
Yeah, I think that's the understanding. I mean, the real race is, I think, the Republican side, because it really is going to determine whether Giuliani is in or not.
Right. What happens to him? You know, I think, Ryan, what we want to hear from callers at 312-751-1979 is we're going to march through some more of these poll numbers and the politics of it. But I think the interesting part for the Catholic audience is, how are people deciding their votes? Is it are they doing it on the perceived ability of the candidates to govern? Are they doing it based on issues? There seems to be a conversation, and especially on the Republican side, with the economy and the war and people's attitudes towards it. On the Democratic side, you hear those same issues, plus you kind of hear a sprinkling of health care. So is it the ability to govern? Is that what people are looking at right now? Is it the issues that are driving people's decisions? And what we would like to think in terms of a Catholic perspective is, are people even thinking about, are they looking at the bishop's document called Faithful Citizenship, which urges us to frame these issues in terms of principles? So what we want to hear from is people, what your opinions are, what's going on out there in your world, are people even paying attention right now? It seems like there's been such a focus on the other primaries. It doesn't seem like there really hasn't been much of attention in Illinois, at least to date.
Yeah, I think the dialogue's really been about, who's been backing who in these in these races, and there hasn't been a dialogue about, I think much has been made of Huckabee's positions and Mormon and Romney as a Mormon, but there really hasn't been a real conversation about some of the values of these candidates. And I think the economy is becoming the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just today with gas prices in the Chicago area, now under $3 is basically because of fear of recession. But at some point, I think voters who look at candidates based on values probably need to, you know, ask themselves and ask questions of these candidates. Where do they stand on the particular issues?
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. It is 9:10 coming up here in Chicago on a Monday morning, January 28th. We are talking with Ryan McLaughlin, a consultant to various candidates about the presidential election. We're going to also talk about what's going on the state level and other aspects of the race. This is Bob Gilligan. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. We'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Seven Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago are honored as No Child Left Behind Blue Ribbon Schools by the U.S. Department of Education. We'll visit those schools and find out what makes Catholic education so special. Francis Cardinal George discusses the power of prayer following a highly publicized infant heart transplant in Chicago. And Chancellor Jimmy Legault says the Archdiocesan financial picture is looking brighter.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
Okay, we're back here talking about politics and the upcoming presidential race and the primaries all throughout Illinois and throughout the rest of the country. And Mike, the producer, is done dancing to, what was that, Men at Work? Who was that group? Men at Work, see? We should have a music segment on this show. Okay, we're talking a little bit about, like I said, the presidential race. And we're on the phone here with Ryan McLaughlin, who is a political consultant and has been following these races for the last couple months and actually for the last couple of years. Ryan, I want to talk a little bit about the process and how people go to vote. But first, before we do so, I want to take a quick phone call here from Frank in Chicago. Frank, welcome to our program this morning.
Yeah, hi, Bob. How you doing?
We're great. How about yourself?
Very good. Great program.
Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ryan a question. I just wanted to see what his opinion is on what Obama will do in Illinois, considering that he's sort of the hometown boy. And also on the Republican side, who he thinks might do well in Illinois, considering none of the Republican candidates, I believe, have spent much time here. I knew Giuliani was here a few weeks ago, but other than that, I really haven't heard too much from the Republican side.
Good question.
Yeah, I think conventional wisdom, and I did see some sort of poll that said Obama's up 2-1 on Hillary. So I think on the Democratic side, it's going to be really a sleeper from a presidential race. And I'll get back to that in a second because I think there's a bigger dynamic at play there. On the Republican side, I think McCain has really mined the territory here. He spent a lot of time here. I think he was the first out of the gate to kind of organize here in Illinois. Most of the campaigns have an apparatus. But the way I think it's a fairly close race between McCain, Giuliani, and Romney. and this is not my you know, my assumption is that McCain is probably the front runner and likely to win based on the polls and kind of the organization. But I think it is up for grabs. Now, getting back to the, you know, the Democratic primary, there is a lot of discussion, and I think folks should think about it, is there might be some people voting for Barack Obama that would not necessarily vote in a Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of discussion about how that impacts the Republican primary. And then that goes back to what I said earlier, is that people who are committed to faith and have some values really need to consider that, because you might have people who say, hey, this is our opportunity to have a president from our state. This
yep.
is our hometown guy. Whether you like him or not, there's always that kind of, hey, you know, Illinois will get a better seat at the table for a lot of different reasons if we have a president in there.
Sure.
So, you know, that kind of crossover is something I think people need to think about. But I think it's Obama's to lose, but I think he wins, and I think it's going to be probably McCain. But that, I expect that to be a fairly close race.
I think that's an interesting observation. It's something that I've been noticing in my conversations with some of the people on a more local level, for example, the state representatives and the state senators. I think a lot of – there's a considerable – I don't want to say fear, but there's a considerable concern out there amongst the incumbents that with the Obama phenomena, if that happens – and I think you're going to see people both on the Democratic side supporting Senator Clinton and Senator Obama being highly motivated to vote, first-time voters. So the question becomes for an incumbent, do those people in their zeal to get involved in the political process, maybe first-time voters, do they go into the voting booth and do they, in not knowing who the incumbent is, do they vote for anybody but the incumbent because of the dissatisfaction with Congress? Or do they recognize the incumbent and does that help them at all? And I'm not sure if that's really manageable at this point in time. I think that's an open-ended question.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Bob. I mean, I think there is – it's definitely – everybody's talking about change. I think it's definitely anti-incumbent, you know, not only nationally, but Illinois. I think there's a lot of frustration with what happened in Springfield. But I think this dynamic, particularly in a primary, you might have people who say, I'm going to vote for Obama. They cast that. They pull a Democrat ballot, and then they realize, but I really like my local state rep or state senator or local county board person,
mm-hmm.
John or Jenny Smith, and they realize John or Jenny Smith isn't on the ballot because they pulled a Democratic ballot. So that, I think, is a concern. And then if Obama is successful, I think, in the general election, you know, that opens up a can of worms. But that's probably a call for about 6 months from now.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that all spins out in terms of the polling, that sort of thing. Frank, did that answer your question? I understand
you're
still online.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Great. Thank you for calling.
And
I'll just remind listeners once again, if they wish to register their opinion or complaint or whatever, however so be it, the number is 312-751-1979. Ryan, can you make a comment or two about the process? You know, I think one of the things that I hear from people who don't follow this on a daily basis like you and I do, and we live it, to us, voting is a very simple act. We understand who's on which side in terms of Republican, Democrat. But when people want to go to vote, I think one of the confusing things that they have is there is just there are a number of people to vote for. There is the county board seats. There's the state's attorney's race. There are judges. There are so many selections people have to make, and it becomes overwhelming, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the frustrating things that I hear from people is, well, and I've heard this, for example, I want to vote for a Republican on the president's side, but I want to vote for a congressional person on the Democratic side. Not possible in Illinois.
No, not at all. It's a very tough situation to be in. I mean, when you a couple things. When you go to vote, you have to you vote by party. So if you pull a Democratic
right.
ballot and you have someone in a Republican that you support, you can't vote for that person, and vice versa.
Right.
If you're supportive of Republican candidates, but you're enamored with a certain presidential candidate, you know it's you're on board for all those candidates. Even I feel that frustration
mm-hmm.
sometimes when you go to
mm-hmm.
to vote. There's a referendum on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I don't know about this referendum. It's going to cost all this
mm-hmm.
money. There's the judicial candidates. But I think the great thing about the internet is there's a lot of information, and there's things from voter guides to most candidates have their websites. There's organizations if you're involved in business.
Mm-hmm.
There's business associations. And I'll encourage people to really take advantage of early voting. And that basically allows voters to vote, you know, I think it's up to Thursday of this week.
Yeah, they extended it, right.
Yeah, and I would really take advantage of that because you can go. The lines are a little aren't going to be as long. You can get in. If you have questions about the ballot, you know, you'll have a little bit more time rather than the rush on Tuesday. And I do think this is going to be a decent amount of turnout. So if people have to get to work or have to do something and they feel that they're pressured, so I would take advantage of early voting, and you might have a little time to ask some of the election judges some of the questions that you might have.
I did it last week. Last Monday we were off, and I had some time. And luckily, the place that I go to work out at, the public library, is almost right next door on Belmont Avenue. So we walked over and voted. And I'll tell you, it was wonderful. It was easy. There was no wait. There was no lines. And I have to say, I'll be interested to see what happens. But the voting machines, I thought, were very user-friendly, if that's the term.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not very intimidating. And like you said, there were people there that answer questions. And I think you bring up a valid point. If people wait till the 5th, which I know most people are, but that's not – there is going to be a little bit of wait. And because, as you're saying, it looks like people are interested and engaged, and you could have to spend a little bit more time than you might be thinking of or that you did last time you went and voted. Let's go back to that in a second, but they're bugging me to take a quick break here. It is 9:21 a.m. in Chicago, and we're with Ryan McLaughlin talking about the presidential race and what's going to happen here in Illinois on the 5th of February. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. This is Bob Gilligan. We'll be right back after this brief message.
The big game is almost here, a battle of the best in pro football. Now you have a chance to begin that weekend by perfecting your own game, by becoming a better player in all you do for the Catholic Church. All parish leaders are invited to sign up now for Parish Leadership Day, Saturday, February 2nd at Guerin High School in River Grove. More than 100 workshops will be featured, and most of them are brand new. Workshops on evangelization, stewardship, pastoral councils, skill building, spiritual formation, and much more. Sessions will be offered in English, Spanish, and Polish. Our spiritual coach, Cardinal Francis George, will call the shots during a question and answer luncheon that has become a cornerstone of this annual event. So put on your game face and call 312-751-8364 or visit our website at www.archchicago.org and get on the roster for Parish Leadership Day, Saturday, February 2nd. And don't forget to watch the big game on Sunday.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
This is Bob Gilligan. We're back talking about the presidential election, and not only the presidential election, but the congressional races as well as the state races here in Illinois that are going to occur. The election in Illinois, the primary date is February 5th, which is next Tuesday. And we're on the phone talking with Ryan McLaughlin, a consultant to many campaigns in the past. The state of Illinois has got a good feel of what goes on not only here in Illinois, but in Washington, D.C. as well. Ryan, we're talking on the break about some of these issues. And, you know, I think it's an interesting observation. The other question I get from a lot of people about is how did we ever get this system? Why is Iowa and New Hampshire so important in terms of the way we select the president. Wouldn't it be better if we just had sort of a regional or a national primary? So why do people in Iowa have such an inordinate amount of influence on how the thing starts out? The good, bad, or indifferent, what do you think?
I think it's a good question that a lot of us have wondered. It seems to me that we elect the president based on what Iowa and New Hampshire says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been frustrating, but it goes back to a point that I made earlier that for the first time, and I would probably say 3 decades, you know, we have an opportunity to make a significant difference in this presidential race. I mean, usually maybe it's one party, and by the time they come to Illinois, political campaigns usually come to Illinois to raise money and get press.
Right.
But this is a real chance for voters to really affect it. I think, you know, on Wednesday next week, we're going to have a real crystal clear picture of who's going to be the nominee for Republican and Democrat. And, you know, you're going to have to go through the motions and a couple more primaries. So I think, you know, think about it. It's been 30 years since we've really had a chance as Illinois voters, regardless of your political belief, regardless mm-hmm. of where you fall down on the issues. You're going to have a significant impact. And I'm excited about it. And
yeah.
I think people really should think about that. You have to go back to maybe, you know, a Reagan campaign or maybe even before that. And especially for new voters or voters that have moved in here, this is their first chance to make a difference. So if you're frustrated that Iowa and New Hampshire gets to make all your decisions for you, you know, go out and vote next Tuesday because you really are going to have an input on it, especially on the Republican side.
Yeah, and I would say that the you often hear of the flyover states, and Illinois being one of those flyover states. In other words, candidates just fly over it on their way to various other states. And it does seem like so far that most of the states have been on the East Coast. I mean, South Carolina and New Hampshire and some of the other states, except for Iowa, of course, have been more on the coast. But I think this year is a little different, and you're seeing perhaps, you know, and the benefit, you know, and I don't want to defend Iowa, and we had my colleague on from Iowa on this program about a month or two ago, but one of the nice things about Iowa is it does let a candidate with less money compete.
Mm-hmm.
That old retail politics is alive and well in Iowa, and people, for better or worse, candidates have to go there and spend time there and get to know people, and if you don't, you don't win. Ask
mm-hmm.
Rudy Giuliani. And if we were to go to some sort of regional system or states that have larger population centers, it also becomes a function of money, and therefore you get into races of – you get into the question of he who can raise or the candidate that can raise the most money will probably win. And I think we want to try to avoid that too. So maybe, you know, there's got to be a blend of the two approaches. But I agree with you. I think this is the time when people need to come out because especially here in Illinois, this is one of the few chances that we get to actually make a difference.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think on the Republican side, it's probably particularly – it's a little closer than on the Democratic side. But, you know, as I said earlier, one never knows. Endorsements this morning. I heard that it looks like the Kennedys or some of the Kennedys are going to endorse Barack Obama. Senator Ted Kennedy is going to endorse him as well as Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw yesterday that the governor of Florida was going to endorse John McCain. And they all have their various movie stars and celebrities that are endorsing them, et cetera. Do you think that matters much?
You know, it's from being in multiple campaigns, I've been on campaigns where you got all the endorsements. You say this is a, you know, this shows that we have broad-based support. And then when you're on the campaigns, you don't have any endorsements. You say, well, the only endorsement that matters is from the voters. I think in a primary, though, it does matter. I mean, think about
mm-hmm.
Yesterday on the New York Times op-ed page, Caroline Kennedy mm-hmm. writing an article saying, I haven't seen anybody like this since my father.
Yeah.
Very compelling for Democrats in a primary. I mean, that I think that's an, you know, her saying that I think is significant.
Yep.
Ted Kennedy's endorsement, I mean, that's helpful, and maybe that helps in some other ways. But, you know, her saying something like that, and I don't think it's a, you know, and plus it's a woman saying it, which is where Obama's trying to,
right,
to take away from Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has a significant impact in that primary. As far as in the Florida race, I think everybody is split. I mean, you have governors endorsing McCain, and then you have some of the members of Congress who represent some of the Cuban population,
right,
which are very,
yeah, that's
have an impact in Florida, are all splintered. But it comes back down to, I think, the get out the vote effort. You know, getting your voters out, and at the end of the day, you have to do that. And I think the endorsements probably help from money and in the media, but you also have to get these folks out to the polls.
Mm-hmm. Before we're talking about helping people decide, you know, some of those sites in terms of who's voting on which party, because as I said, it's real easy for us. We follow this all the time, and we live it and we breathe it. But I know a lot of people don't do that, and they're getting bombarded with mailings, and they're getting bombarded with robocalls and all those sort of things, and sometimes they just don't know. One site that I will make a pitch for here in terms of, and it won't tell you all the candidates per se, but it will at least give you some guidance in terms of framing issues, which is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops put up the Faithful Citizenship website. And in there, it goes into Catholic social teaching and how to form your conscience. Are there other sites that you can think of that people could go to that would help them decide, you know, at least they'll be able to see visually the candidates on either side?
Yeah, and I think if you're in business, you know, and depending on what you're interested in, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, I believe, might have candidate ratings. If you're involved if you kind of are interested in faith issues and want to know where candidates stand on some of the core issues, you obviously want to focus in on pro-life organizations. Because most of these, the beauty of it is that a lot of these organizations not only put out pro-voter guides,
right,
but they ask very basic questions. And you get a real clear picture on the types of candidates that you have. And, you know, if you're a member of pro-life groups in Illinois, you can go to those groups and you could look at them. Or if you're interested in gun issues, most candidates get a survey and they ask them pretty basic questions. And, you know, if you've answered a survey and it's on a website, you know, and it'll give you a perspective. On the other hand, if a candidate hasn't answered a survey on a website, it probably will tell you that maybe that person isn't in line with you. But that's not always necessarily the case. My phone will probably ring off the hook for saying that on the radio. But but I think that those are, you know, you can look at Illinois Citizens for Life. You can look at Illinois Right to Life. There's a number of them, but I really would encourage you to take a look at those.
Yeah, and with the internet, all this is fairly accessible these days, and I understand that not everybody has access to the internet, and some people it's harder to get than in others. But I mean, we all know somebody. If you don't have access to the internet, you know somebody who does, and that can be very important as well. Okay, we have to take a quick break here. It is 9:32 a.m., and we are talking about the presidential race with Ryan McLaughlin. The number here is 312-751-1976. We'll be back after this brief message.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I've carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
The Jewish and Catholic Communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 13th Annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Tuesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. at the Spertus Institute of Jewish Studies in Chicago. Dr. Eugene Fisher will offer reflections on Jewish-Catholic relations, past, present, and future. Dr. Fisher is a consultant to the Holy See's Commission for Religious Relations with the Jews and Associate Director Emeritus of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Secretariat for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. In addition, Cardinal Francis George will be in attendance. That date again is Tuesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are requested. Please call 312-751-5325 to reserve your place. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back. This is Bob Gilligan talking with Ryan McLaughlin about the current upcoming race here in Illinois. The number is 312-751-1979 if you wish to join our conversation. We're talking about the break, about some of the issues coming up. And I should add also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, it is Catholic Schools Week. And we might be talking sometime within the next half hour with Congressman Dan Lipinski about his resolution that he introduced in Congress honoring Catholic schools. And if he gets on the line, we will interrupt our conversation to bring him in for a couple minutes. We're talking with Ryan about the upcoming races. Ryan, in Illinois, right now, in terms of Springfield at the state level, the Democrats have the governor's office. The governor is Democrat. The Democrats also have the majority in both the House and the Senate. And I know there's some close races there. Do you think there's any chance that that could change, the majorities could change, or do you think that that will continue to be the same situation, or is it a little early to tell?
Well, I don't know if a wholesale change is, I think it's very unlikely a wholesale change is going to happen this year, but I think there's a handful of races that, mm-hmm. you know, might increase the majorities or decrease the majorities. There seems to be some races in the House, particularly in the northwest suburbs. You had several members of the House retire, say they're not running again,
right.
And that's a battleground. That's
yep.
traditionally been a battleground for years. Those are the races in a general election. Now, we're not talking next week. We're talking the general election in the fall. That those races become very pivotal based on an Obama factor.
Yes.
And based on his success. Now, if his campaign is faltering, then you can say that. But if Obama has a surge, you know, those are swing districts. And that's where major changes might occur depending on a presidential ticket.
Mm-hmm. So an incumbent has reason to be concerned, and especially maybe on the Democratic side, depending on, once again, how that swings. And then also on the Republican side, it's sort of unpredictable because, as you're indicating, it's a close race, so there might be more people motivated to go out and vote on Tuesday.
Right. There's always a higher turnout in presidential elections. That's proven.
Right.
And more people, quote-unquote, classified as independent voters. These are folks who don't follow it
yeah.
very close, and they probably engage 3 weeks out and usually vote on based on a couple issues or sometimes maybe the last two things that they've seen. Now, and those are folks who – so you have a higher turnout. You have an Illinois, probably likely someone from Illinois on the ballot, whether it's, you know, Obama or even if Clinton's on the ballot, she's going to say, this is my home too, and she'll probably come here a lot and campaign. So if Clinton wins the nomination,
mm-hmm.
I think Illinois does become pivotal because I do think you're probably going to have Republicans who will coalesce in opposition to her. So it definitely puts some races that are kind of on everybody's radar screen, but maybe races that aren't on everybody's radar screen, not only on the legislative level, but even on the local level, municipal races, county races.
Sure.
Because of this dynamic.
And it all comes down to oftentimes is a candidate's ability to put together a decent campaign with an operation that makes sure that when people go out to vote, they hit the button that is indicative of their candidate's choice. And I, you know, one race that I'm thinking about as I'm talking to you is in the Logan Square area of the city of Chicago. There's a close Democratic primary. You have an incumbent, Iris Martinez, who's been there, and you have a state representative, Rich Bradley, who's trying to move over and unseat Senator Martinez. And I think what you have going on at a very local level is some strong organizing campaigns. You have the ward operations coming out. You have leadership in the Senate supporting the incumbent. So it's very important in terms of that's when campaigns become critical. And, you know, putting a plug in for you, that's when hiring people who can get out the vote become very, very, very important.
They are. And everybody likes to be, you know, James Carville and Karl Rove and sit in the back. But
yeah.
I worked on a race that we focused 13 months ahead of time, starting to knock on doors, and we had a candidate by the name of Peter Roskam, who was just
sure.
an amazing candidate, and who worked very hard. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it was knocking on doors, phone calling, identifying your voters, but getting your voters out to the polls. And when the dust cleared, it was one of the main reasons why Peter now is serving in Congress, and I think a lot of folks listening probably I know there's a lot of supporters listening because of Peter's faith, and that's really important in these local races and primaries, that turnout. And that goes back to when you have a presidential race, you have to get your voters to turn out. And like you said, those you have, I think you have a very close race for state's attorney.
Right, that's another one.
In Cook County, that's a Democratic primary. And then you have these congressional, you have, I think on the Democratic side, you have a, you know, the race that Congressman Lipinski's in a race, but on the Republican side, you have multiple races that are competitive as well. And so, you know, Illinois has, we have a lot going on from a political electoral standpoint. And it's exciting.
It is. Which gets back to your point of earlier, which is get out there, educate yourself with the issues, and go vote. Okay, we have to take a quick break. It is 9:40 in the morning. The number here is 312-751-1979. We'll be back after this message.
Wake up to Youth 2000, February 29th through March 2nd at St. Benedict Parish in Chicago.
Youth 2000 leads young people to a personal encounter with the Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ.
Youth 2000 inspires youth to live and give witness to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more information, visit the website missionchicago.net or call 773-588-6484.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Hello, this is Bob Gilligan. I'm this morning talking with Ryan McLaughlin, a campaign consultant, and talking a little bit about some of the races that are going on here in Illinois, not only in Illinois, but across the country. And as mentioned earlier in the program, we were going to try to reach Congressman Dan Lipinski, talk a little bit about his resolution on Catholic Schools Week and some of the issues going on in his district, the 3rd District. And I believe he's on the line. Congressman Lipinski, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Bob?
Great. We have a couple minutes. I understand you're pretty busy this morning between events, but you have a resolution that was introduced recently supporting Catholic schools.
Yes. For the second year in a row, I introduced a resolution honoring Catholic schools during Catholic Schools Week and recognizing all that Catholic schools do for educating the millions of kids in school today and through, you know, throughout the history of America. Certainly, I'm a product of 12 years of a Catholic grammar school and high school. My wife is also, and we actually had this resolution on the floor of the House of Representatives last week, and we passed it. So I think it's very important to make sure people realize how important Catholic schools are to America, and that's why I put in this resolution. We got that passed last week in the House.
Great, and thanks so much for doing that. And Congressman, just so our listeners know, you are the current incumbent congressman in the 3rd District, correct?
Correct. The 3rd District is the southwest side of Chicago, western and southwestern suburbs.
And that area encompasses the geographical area you just outlined. And we were just talking with Ryan McLaughlin, who's still on the line with us, about the upcoming race and what's going on and all that. And I think you're one of the people, I believe, who does have you have a contested primary, I believe.
Yes, I do.
And there's about three, four people out there. So for all listeners out there, Congressman Lipinski on February 5th will be on the ballot, as well as three or four other gentlemen vying for that critical seat out there. And Congressman, overall, I think, you know, we just wanted to get you on for 2 seconds to thank you for introducing that resolution in Congress supporting Catholic Schools Week, and to remind all our listeners out there that it is, in fact, Catholic Schools Week. So it's something we need to be pretty thankful for, because this isn't part of how we transmit our values and our faith to future generations. Congressman, any closing words or something? I know you're in the middle of a couple things, but we want to just get you on the air and make sure that people knew about the resolution and also about what's coming up next Tuesday.
Well, I just want to encourage everyone out there to come out and vote on February 5th. It's very important that you do, and you know, I know it's an issue. In terms of, you know, this is primary, so it's Democrats and Republicans. You can only vote in one primary. I'm very proud to be a pro-life Democrat, and that's something that I carry out there. Have had hundreds of thousands of dollars spent against me by a pro-choice candidate, and I just think it's very important to them that people do see that we need to have the pro-life movement has to be active in both political parties. And I'm carrying the torch there in the Democratic Party, and we'll always continue to do so. But I just encourage people, you know, whatever they're going to do, to to come out and vote on February 5th.
Get out there and vote. And if I could make another plug for Faithful Citizenship, go out and read that document, Form Your Conscience, as the congressman just outlined. He has had a strong pro-life voting record, and that's an issue of very much importance to voters out there who are listening to the station in terms of the Catholic faith. So, Congressman, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us real briefly. I know, like you said, you're between a couple of events there, but we want to just make sure that people knew what was going on.
All right, good to talk to you, Bob.
Great. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. Ryan, any comments or any insights about what's going on there in the 3rd District out there? I know there's a number of people on the ballot, and it's getting pretty nasty from what I've heard.
I think it's going to be a pretty competitive election. I haven't – all I know is that it is competitive. There are a lot of candidates in it, and I don't have a whole lot of a lot of pearls of wisdom, but it seems to me that the media is pretty engaged on the race, kind of talking about some of the differences between the candidates. But if you do live in that district, you probably should kind of take a look at it. I think it is a very competitive election. Frankly, probably the only competitive congressional election in the primary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a number of the news media have made various endorsements, and surprised to learn that although the Chicago Tribune endorsed Congressman Lipinski, the Chicago Sun-Times did not endorse probably the more well-known challenger, but endorsed, I believe, as the former mayor of, or the current mayor of, Palos Heights. So a lot going on in that district. I was out there over the weekend, and it seems like people are pretty in tune. There's signs all over the place, so people out there are following the race closely, and we hope that they discern properly, and hopefully things will turn out good in that district coming up. It's about 9:48 a.m. We're going to take the final break of the morning, and we'll come back and conclude our conversation with Ryan McLaughlin about the presidential race upcoming, as well as congressional races and state offices as well. The number here is 312-751-1979. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back after this brief message.
This August, pilgrims from Chicago will travel to Lourdes, France, to mark the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Saint Bernadette. The group will be led
by Cardinal Francis George.
It's a place of hope, it really is. But it's all oriented towards the sick. If you're sick, you are the king of that place. Everybody's there who's in good health merely to serve the sick. And that's what the Blessed Mother is about. She appeared to a very poor girl, and she said, here's a place of healing. And that's what it's been ever since.
Join the pilgrimage to Lourdes. Call 312-751-2010. That's 312-751-2010. Call now and be part of this unforgettable spiritual journey.
Storyteller Susan O'Halloran talks about racism.
We have to understand is that these biases and prejudices we all have, prejudice is an equal opportunity offender. We all have that. It goes by in a nanosecond.
Cardinal George discusses racism in his pastoral letter, Dwell in My Love. Now hear Susan O'Halloran's compelling stories illustrating how racism affects all of us.
None of us escape not having some misconceptions of other people, and it is sad and it is disturbing. Most people I talk to are upset that they have those biases.
Susan is doing a series of talks throughout the Archdiocese. For more information, call Sister Lois at 708-442-3414. Or go to www.dwellinmylove.org for dates and locations.
Without that diversity of opinion and thought, and that can be people being the same color but coming at things from differences, we need to value that as opposed to be threatened by it.
Okay, this is Bob Gilligan. We're back with Ryan McLaughlin talking about the upcoming presidential primary here in Illinois. It is 9:51 a.m., and we were just joined by Congressman Dan Lipinski, who is running again out in the 3rd District. Ryan, Tsunami Tuesdays, I think, is what we're calling it next Tuesday, and I think the big states are it's California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois are the four biggies, if I can recall correctly.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
And I think it's most of these states are winner-take-all type propositions, correct? Because that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware that I think most of the states are winner-take-all, and I'm pretty sure Florida is for the Republicans next week.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we didn't talk about is it's a little confusing to listeners in terms of how the parties select their nominees through the primary process. They depend on delegates, and delegates sometimes are selected proportionally, or sometimes it's winner-take-all. And there's different numbers needed in order to attain the nomination. I think the Republican side, it's 1,100, and the Democratic side, it's 2,000. So delegates are really what matters, and delegates are attained through the primary process. Is that a good way of explaining it?
Yeah, it is.
For lack of a better way?
Yeah, it's a little complicated, but
right.
Also, I think for the first time again, the theme we've talked about throughout this mm-hmm. the show is, you know, this delegate process might be very interesting, and we, you know, this talk of a brokered convention, I don't know how serious it is. It appears that Edwards is using whatever delegates he has to try to get something out of what he's doing, and I don't know if you'll have that on the Republican side, but
mm-hmm.
if you have Obama and Clinton that are close, Edwards could tip the favor, so this whole delegate process is really interesting.
Yeah, and I think on the Democratic side, they even have something called super delegates, which are even more complex, and I don't even begin to understand how that whole thing works. I did check this morning and saw that it's interesting that right now Romney has the most delegates committed as of, and I'm not even sure if they're firm commitments or not, as of right now, but I think that's going to change dramatically after February 5th because such a large number of states have those big delegate numbers. That's going to change the complexity of the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. Any words of wisdom as we kind of conclude our show here? I'm wondering, we've said already, encourage people to go out and vote. Make sure they become aware of the candidates and aware of the issues. And I think we've also talked a little bit about how to do that in terms of some of the voting guides that are out there and some of the organizations. And it is a complex process, as we were saying earlier, but there was so much information out there. I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder, maybe there's so much information, people are just overwhelmed. I've never seen so many debates before in my lifetime. It seems like they're on every other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that gives us all something to talk about. But I don't know. Do you think that the debates are having effect on in terms of increasing the knowledge? Or?
Yeah, I think they've actually been pretty helpful. A couple of these debates have actually, I think, shifted some voter turnout in some of these primaries. I think you've seen, I think in particular debate, I think it was last week where Obama and Hillary kind of started fighting with each other. I think it was the first time, you know, the hope message kind of went away and people saw Senator Obama as kind of mixing it up in a political level. I think the debates are very helpful, especially the national ones. And you know, there's the interesting things, the YouTube debates, the kind of blogger debates. I think it gives everybody an opportunity to get involved. And I think the thought that I would have, we've covered the voting thing, but the one thing for everybody to keep in mind is that this election is going to have a real significant impact here in Illinois. And something that is quite complicated to understand, though, is that these congressional races are going to have a significant impact on, you know, what they call redrawing the map.
That's a good point.
And what every 10 years, you know, all these states kind of look at the map based on census figures. And the foundation of it is kind of the congressional election. Depending on which party is in control in the legislature and depending on who the members of Congress are, the political leaders kind of get to decide how these maps are drawn. And these congressional races are very spirited on, and I think are going to have a big impact in the fall. Because they're going to set the framework for what happens in these legislative races. And people wonder, well, my neighbor's in one district. My neighbor's in the 32nd, and I'm in the 54th. I don't understand that. So it is something I think a lot of people have a reason, should get involved, should look into these things. But, you know, it's fun. We have a lot of ideas in the state, and I think it's a bonus. You have a lot of these. I was talking to someone earlier this morning from a different state out on West, and she told me, well, there's not really much going on in our state. And, you know, in Illinois, we always have something going on, and whether it's good or bad,
going on. Right. Yeah, there's never a lack of a dull moment, especially with some of the people who are currently in office.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you bring up a good point, too. And if any listeners out there want to get a little bit of entertainment, I'd strongly suggest that you go to the Illinois State Board of – who's got the maps? Is it the Board of Elections?
Yeah, State Board of Elections.
Yeah, take a look at I can't think of the incumbent, but it's Lane Evans' old district in central Illinois. That is the – I can't describe the boundaries and the gerrymandering that went into the creation of that district. It is mind-boggling to see how it follows throughout the state of Illinois in nooks and crannies, and it goes away, and it takes up some geographic areas that one would never expect. So there's a lot that goes into drawing the map, and depending on who lives in that area and how they vote.
Right, no, and it's a real concern. And even in the city of Chicago, Congressman Gutierrez's district,
that's another one.
Is one that actually has sparked the national conversation. If you look at his district and how it was drawn, it's a very unique district. And the problem is, especially with this downstate district, you know, your regional issues, your neighborhood issues, your community issues might be, you know,
right.
You might be lumped
it's
into
true.
To big communities where, you know, you might not have your two cents in. So the map, unfortunately, really impacts people's lives. So.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because you don't have the same perhaps concerns and issues depending on where you live when you're so disjointed from the bulk of the district and where the others live. And I use Lane Evans' old district as an example, but you're right. The current Congressman Gutierrez in Chicago also has that phenomenon. It really is incredible to see that map when you take a visual of it.
Yeah, it's politics at its best or worst, depending
or worst.
On how you describe it.
Right. Right. Okay, with that, we're going to start signing off here. Ryan, our thanks to you for spending – it seems like this hour has just flown by here. I'm not sure where all the phone callers were this morning. Maybe they're still just groggy from the weekend. But we'd like to thank all of those who did call in this morning. We'd also like to thank Congressman Gutierrez – I'm sorry, not Congressman Gutierrez, Congressman Lipinski for his contribution to today's program and his introduction of that resolution on Catholic Schools Week. So once again, just making a plug for all people to get out there and vote. And in case they need to, for further information, Ryan, in terms of where the voting booths are and that sort of thing, it's the State Board of Elections?
Yeah, State Board of Elections, or in your county, go to your county clerk's office. So depending on where you look, if you're, you know, obviously Cook County clerk, but any counties around the service, if you go to your clerk, they'll list not only where you can vote early voting, which is, I think, up until Thursday of this week, but it'll tell you where to go. And polling places have changed in the last couple of years, so I would definitely encourage people to take a look and go to your clerk's office. because that's really the best way to look at it.
Or your public library.
Yeah,
exactly. True. Ryan, thanks again.
Thanks, Bob.
Glad to spend the hour with us here. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois signing off, and we'll be back on the third Monday of February. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week and a good day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.